simply doesn't rain in Southern California. Thinking about you, Frank Ocean, born on this day in 1987. Well, he wasn't born on this day, but he has a new book out on this day. Dr. Cornel West, one of our great public intellectuals, professor, now at the Union Theological Seminary, here to talk about his new book, Black Prophetic Fire, that's written in dialogue and edited with Krista Buschendorf. And Cornel, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Oh, my dear brother, you know, I salute you, though. It's always a blessing to be in conversation with you. I love those days in history that you have.
Thank you.
That's so nice.
It's a big part of our show. It means a lot to me. So.
Oh, yeah, it means a lot to all of us, man.
So you, and speaking of history, this book that you've just written really kind of winds its way through history and the present, trying to meld the two, looking at the lives of Frederick Douglass, W.E.B. Du Bois, Martin Luther King, the great Ella Baker, Malcolm X, and Ida B. Wells, but relating it really to Ferguson and what's happening in America today and Barack Obama, I mean, and tying it into the 21st century. So tell me about your approach to this and why you did it this way. What are you doing here?
Started the book 6 years ago. I had no idea that there would be this magnificent awakening in Ferguson, especially among the visionary and courageous young brothers and sisters of color. That spills over to brothers and sisters of all colors, though. But it's really about what's missing in present-day leadership across the board. When you think of Frederick Douglass and W.B. Du Bois, Malcolm and Martin, Ida B. Wells and Ella Baker, you see integrity, you see decency, you see moral consistency. You see a systemic analysis. They have an analysis of the whole system of the ways in which Wall Street dominates the government, the ways in which the government is already too narrow in terms of political discourse, and ways in which it renders invisible the suffering of too many poor people. And these days, of course, we got the new Jim Crow. We've got these decrepit schools that did it promote a kind of soul murder too often to our precious young people. We've got massive unemployment, and then, of course, you've got imperial practices with drones dropping bombs on too many innocent people in Yemen, Somalia, and Pakistan. So when you the sixth figure that I'm talking about, I could have talked about James Baldwin, I could have talked about Gwendolyn Brooks, I could have talked
many
about
people.
Paul Robeson.
Right, right.
But those six are towering ones. And it's a love letter to the younger generation. You know, it's the reason why I went down to Ferguson. Let young folk know we love them. They're part of a great tradition. They need to have historical memory, a sense of their history. The Sankofa bird, where you refuse to go forward until you first look back at the great landmark figures and movements that can empower you.
One of the things you say in this book, and it's pretty striking and direct, and folks, please join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talk at steinershow.org. Tweet me at Mark Steiner. Comment on our Facebook pages, the Mark Steiner Show page, 410-319-8888, as we talk with Dr. Cornel West about his latest work, Black Prophetic Fire, 410-319-8888. But you have this, you really push a point very hard in this book, and I want to kind of talk about this first and go into other aspects of it. When you write a line like, this prophetic viewpoint, and we can talk about what this prophetic fire, black prophetic fire, is about. This prophetic viewpoint is not a personal attack on a black president. Rather, it's a wholesale indictment of the system led by a complicitous black president. Parse that out. I mean, that's a very strong statement.
Right. When we talk about the presidents or governors or mayors, we have to look at their policies. We have to look at their deeds. What kind of choices do they make in relation to poor people, in relation to working people, in relation to black people and brown people and so forth? So a lot of people come down on me, you know, and I'm critical of Brother Barack Obama. And, of course, I make it clear that the Fox News right-wing attacks on Barack Obama are just lies and a form of a certain kind of pathology at times. But at the same time, when Barack Obama chooses Tim Geithner and Larry Summers, they come out of Wall Street. He chose Wall Street over homeowners. He chose drones over not having drones. He chose massive surveillance to keep track of phone calls and so forth, as opposed to cutting back, so that it's continuities from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. Those are choices that he made. That's a part of a system. He is the head of an American system, and that system has failed poor people. It has failed especially black, poor, and working people. And we have to be critical. Why? Because we got to love the poor. We got to love poor and working people. When you love folk, you can't stand the fact they're being treated unfairly. When the system's not being treating them unfairly, you have a critique of the system and whoever is head of that system. But it's not a personal attack on the brother.
So, all right, so let me kind of talk a bit about that, too, because I think that it's really interesting here that, I mean, the other things you just laid out about President Barack Obama are things that we have talked about on this program a great deal.
Sure.
And all
sure.
the contradictions therein. But you know, on the other hand, you also seem to be writing that in some ways that many folks feel like we should be entering an era where people can be part of the system and almost kind of looking at the larger communities as being like sellouts. And maybe, but on the other hand, let me throw this in and see what you think. On the other hand, you know, there are a lot of people who may be gathering around President Barack Obama now because, as during Reconstruction of the times, he is under such vicious attack by right-wing racists in America and by many in the Republican Party who have those feelings that many, I think, people in the black community and allies feel like they have to surround the first black president and protect him from what they see as those kind of attacks, despite there may be major disagreements with all the things you just outlined.
Well, I think you can do both, though, Brother Mark. If you committed to truth and you committed to justice, then the vicious attacks of Barack Obama from right wing, they're false and they're unjust. So you have to oppose those attacks. But at the same time, when he's relatively silent on Ferguson, when he sends Eric Holder down there for a review that's going to take weeks and months, and we find out, of course, he's on his way out. But any time, when Newtown, Connecticut, he goes up and gives a speech. He sends out a letter about the death of Robin Williams before he sends out any note about the death of Brother Michael Brown. You say to yourself, what are his priorities? Well, if his priorities, which he's made clear in 6 years, are more Wall Street than Main Street, more drones than justice in his foreign policy, and when you've got poor people who are just being wasted in the schools, and he's supporting the charter movement that closes down public education coming out of his Secretary of Education, then he has to be criticized for his choices in the name of truth, just as you criticize Fox News, who's lying about him, in the name of truth. Truth cuts across the board.
So talk a bit about, before we jump into the phones here, I'm going to get some calls coming in, that the connection here, and that, because you do it really interestingly in the book, weaving Frederick Douglass's work in life and Du Bois's and King's and the amazing Ella Baker, Malcolm X.
And Ella. Now, Ella's one of the great heroes that needs to be accented. You're absolutely right.
Well, to me, both Ella Baker needs to be – Ella Baker and Ida B. Wells in some ways are lost to most people in history. They know the name Du Bois. They know Douglass. They know Malcolm.
Right.
But these two women were some of the most amazing women in American history.
Well, there's no doubt Ida B. Wells is the most courageous figure in the book. When you talk about she's got a bounty on her head, she's writing about she writes her book, A Red Terror, which is about American terrorism and the lynching, and the lynching of her three friends ran her out of Tennessee, ran her out of the country. She remained a long-distance runner, ended her life still swinging in terms of fighting for justice.
I mean, she did.
She ought to be at the center. And same is true with Ella Baker. There's no Martin Luther King's organization, SCLC, without Ella. There's no SNCC.
Say that again,
Ella.
Cornell. Say that one more time.
there's no Southern Christian Leadership Conference without the great Ella Baker. And what was Ella about? She was not about charismatic, messianic models of one leader, one HNIC at the top, who could either be co-opted or murdered. She's about grassroots leadership. That's why when we talk about Ferguson, we're talking about Ashley Yates, you're talking about Tef Poe, you're talking about Tory Russell, you're talking about Alexis Templeton. These are indigenous young black leaders that we stand alongside. I was critical of Brother Sharpton and Jesse and others going down there and decentering them and making themselves the center. No, this is indigenous leadership.
Yes, it is.
Ella Baker. There's nothing wrong with going down to stand alongside of them and even being in conversation. They can still learn from we old school brothers and sisters, but we got to be able to learn from them. Ella Baker was teaching folk that in the 60s and 70s.
You know, it's interesting. There's a little story about Ida B. Wells, too, that always interested me. She was there at the beginning of a lot of the NAACP, but she was pushed aside by even Du Bois and some of the other men. It's not given her due.
No, that's absolutely. And there's no doubt about it. In fact, the very black woman's club that she founded, and one of them was named after her in Chicago, she was pushed out of that. Never was president of that. Why? Because there was a lot of anxiety and, in fact, even a lot of envy toward Ella Baker. She was very free. And, of course, an independent woman, let alone an independent black woman, was scared to death out of a lot of folk who are insecure and full of anxieties, though, bro.
Let me open the phones here as we talk with Dr. Cornell West about his latest work, Black Prophetic Fire. that he did in dialogue and edited by Krista Buschendorf. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And Ernest, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ernest.
Dr. West.
My dear brother, how you doing this morning, man?
All right, my brother. I think you are absolutely right. We have to be truthful, and we have to have love for everybody.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And this President Barack Obama is a black face on white supremacy, and he is carrying out drone attacks and invading countries like Libya and assassinating leaders that has done nothing to us and caused a lot of African people in Libya to be massacred, and they're still fighting in Libya.
It's chaos now. It's sheer chaos. Oops.
It's sheer chaos.
That's right.
And
you're right, my brother.
And he groaned four American citizens. Two of them were juveniles, Imam Ali Wacky.
That's right.
And his son, who was 16 years old.
That's right.
And two other individuals. His cousin was 17, and another individual in Afghanistan. I mean, we can't have these kind of things because a person has a black face.
That's exactly right.
Just if he has a white face, we're criticized. Now, he said that he was so caring about the Yazidis on a mountain, but 2,500 Palestinians were killed, murdered, right, bombed in Gaza, and 500 were children.
500 precious Palestinian babies.
Children.
Okay, so we only have a few minutes. Ernest, let me let you get, I have only asked your brother to get to a point because we only have like 9 more minutes with Dr. West.
Well, Dr. West, a lot of black people, they're going to give Barack Obama a pass because they don't read and understand that he is taking on the policies of George W. Bush and anybody like Snowden who revealed that he was spying on everybody and leaders of the country, starting wars over in by Russia, prosecuting these people.
No, you're right, though, brother. I think that we are on the same vibe. I mean, and the book is fundamentally about having integrity, being truthful. And, of course, as a Christian, I try to love everybody. But, see, when you love folk, as I said before, you hate the fact they're being treated unjustly. I love Palestinian babies. I love Israeli babies. I love black babies, white babies. And when they're being bombed and annihilated, I can't stand it. I got to raise my voice.
So the other side is where we got, Ernest, thanks for calling in to push us a little further, just for conversation's sake here. I mean, you know, when we talk about he's moving on with Bush's policies, I was at a conference yesterday where somebody was making a very clear point that, you know, we looked at Ronald Reagan's kind of very racist speech in the beginning of his career, talking about the young buck who buys a steak with his welfare check while you can't afford hamburger meat and playing that game. But it was President Clinton who talked about ending welfare as we know it, stopping the laziness in America. I mean, this is not just Barack Obama.
Oh, no, this is what we're talking about, a system. I mean, it was under Clinton, you had 3 strikes, you're out. It was under Clinton that deregulated markets that led toward the degradation of workers. And it was under Clinton that you had the ending welfare. That's why I couldn't support it in the second time. And my critiques of Clinton were just as intense and harsh in the 90s as my critiques of Barack Obama, because as you rightly say, Brother Mark, it's not just one president, it's a system, but the president can make a difference. Why is there not one major speech on the new Jim Crow, which is a criminal system, a criminal justice system, which itself is criminal when it comes to the way in which poor people are treated? Not one Wall Street executive goes to jail. Jamal and Letitia get caught with a crack bag, they go straight to jail. There's something criminal about that in terms of its unfairness. Where is at least a speech about it to cast a spotlight on it? You can't have a president that doesn't say a mumbling word in public about the new Jim Crow. It'd be like having a president in 1948 who was black that didn't say a word about Jim Crow. People would be up in arms about that. Well, the new Jim Crow is vicious for our precious young people, especially the brothers, but including the sisters.
But you seem, and maybe I'm misreading something here, but let me ask this question. It seems in some ways, though, that you can be very also down on a large body of people in America you think are buying in and supporting this.
Yeah.
On the other hand, let me put it a different way and see what you think of this. That when I think of the majority of Americans, including one third of white Americans, the majority of those white Americans being young people and others, putting a Barack Obama into the White House, many people vote and move because they feel something in a broader sense, not with specific ideas and ideology, but they feel that they want a new America that's not racist, that's something progressive and new. And I think that is the feeling of most, the majority of Americans, not all Americans, but the majority of Americans.
That's true. No, I think that's true, but the same. But the problem is that when you look at this in terms of it being a neoliberal capitalist system, that it specializes in financializing, privatizing, and militarizing. So it financializes at the top with banks. 1% of the population owns 42% of the wealth, while almost 40% of black children live in poverty. 22% of all children live in poverty. It privatizes, which means it tries to privatize education, privatizes across the board, calling into question public life, and then militarizing, beginning with the schools. And, of course, for poor children, those schools are almost cannon fodder for the prison industrial complex. So that you have to be cognizant of the system itself is not just the individual. So even when you vote, you're voting for an individual, but you have to have a critical attitude toward the system. You have to speak candidly. You have to act courageously and be willing to give up popularity or whatever in the name of truth and justice. That's what Martin, Malcolm, Ida B. Wells, that's what Ella Baker, that's what Du Bois and Douglas were all about. And they were magnificent examples for us in the present. Are we going to bear witness to truth and integrity, or are we going to be well-adjusted and just? You take a channel like MSNBC. MSNBC is obsessed with responding to the right-wing propaganda of Fox News. Fox News mean-spirited toward poor people, no doubt. But it becomes an Obama propaganda machine, no critique of the system. And you get black folk who want access to power, want access to status, but don't want to tell the truth. So at that point, they're more concerned about their careers than their callings, more concerned about trying to get over rather than tell the truth about why so many folk are not able to gain access to basic quality education, decent job, and so forth. The truth must prevail.
So where do you think, that if from your analysis and looking at the system and the role we have now, where do you see it going? When you look, now I've interviewed a lot of the folks you're talking about in Ferguson, who are these young people who are kind of younger generation who are really taking hold and leaders and coming up from the bottom and doing it on their own. It's happening across America, really. And a lot of young people from all over have gone to Ferguson to stand with them. So what does that mean, do you think? I mean, when you think about it in the context, let's say, of our generation, of being in Mississippi in the early 60s, of that world, we were young, too. We were 18, 19, 20 years old when that happened.
Absolutely.
So what do you think this says?
Well, I mean, in the 1960s, we knew that it took us beyond the limits of the prevailing system. We were calling for fundamental change. And I think what you're hearing in Ferguson now, especially among the awakening young folk, is a call for fundamental change. I know we're in Baltimore, the city of Billy Holiday and Brother Carl Dix comes out of Baltimore. He and I called for, of course, the Stop Mass Incarceration movement this month. We had response in 78 different cities. It's been really a magnificent thing. But it's a matter of making connections. See, we have to critique capitalism. We have to critique white supremacy. We have to critique male supremacy. We have to critique any kind of hatred of Jews or Palestinians or Arabs or Muslims and put at the center poor and working people. Poor and working people must be at the center of our public policy. Right now, it's big banks and big corporations. Poor people are an afterthought, and that's why we're losing so many precious poor and working people in this system. We have to tell the truth about it.
Well, Dr. Cornel West, I really hope that soon you can join us for a much longer time. It's been great to have you here.
Too, but I salute you, Brother Mark, man. I tell you, you're a force for good in so many ways, though, man.
Thank you very much, Cornel. Appreciate
you
it, man.
Stay strong now.
You
stay
too.
Strong.
Black Prophetic Fire, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to take a very brief break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Gloria Ronaldo, one of the great Afro-Cuban filmmakers, and a great conversation. She's here at Morgan State University right now. She's coming into the studio. We're going to break with Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio, which hit number one on this day in 1995. A little old school. Is gone, but I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of cheater.